and you wish to turn with me today to 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, and I'll read a text there out of the 13th verse. I want to speak to you just a few moments this morning on, are you tough enough? Are you tough enough? There's a saying when I was growing up, and you might still use it today. By the way, there's not going to be any children's church today. Are you tough enough to handle the kids out here? There are not that many of them. I have an extra belt in my office if you need it. I know you're not going to. There is a saying, though, when I was growing up, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And it's indeed a true statement to anybody that has had to hurdle past obstacles and climb life's disappointments. What am I going to tell it again? Mickey's not here to make me repeat myself today, but now we've got the younger folks beginning to. I said 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. It's where I will be eventually. Now I'm going to start over again. There's a saying. When I was growing up, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And with your life, you're going to have some obstacles. You're going to have some things happen. Even as a Christian, maybe more often even as a Christian sometimes, you're going to have some difficulties in life. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs, the 30th chapter, that there's four things upon the earth that are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The first one mentioned there is the ant. Solomon says the ant is not though they are strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Ants know they don't have to. They don't have long to work before the chill of winter sets in. And so they gather all the food that they need to feed their colony while they have strength and opportunity. So the ants do not wait for an invitation to your picnic. They show up unannounced, and they're happy to carry off anything within their reach. They get on there, and they go to town. I seen a Nat Geo deal the other day about this one particular ant. It's a pretty good-sized ant. That's a lone forager. It just goes out by itself. But then there's this other group of ants that forage together. And so that ant that foraged alone, which is a pretty good-sized guy, got attacked by the little guys. Well, one little guy attacked him first. But before long, there was hundreds of them gathered around him. He was fending off the little guy, but yet the little guy was holding his own. But when the rest of the group got there, well, the big guy got whooped. Not only got whipped, he got killed. And I think they cut his body up and carried him to the colony. They're going to feast on him. They're going to have protein during the winter. But you see, an ant knows how to prepare for the chill of winter. Ants are relentless. Ants are persistent. Ants are use every muscle they can muster to carry their fair share of the load. In an ant's world, you got to be tough to survive. So are you tough enough? We're not ants today. We are Christians. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Are you tough enough to hang in there till the very end? Are you going to fight the fight of faith? Or are you going to give up at the first sign of trouble? Now, I know most of you've been in this for a while. You've fought fights. You've mustered up all the courage that you could, and you've stood strong on behalf of the Lord, on behalf of your family, and you haven't gave up. But I want to tell you something, church. There's always that blow that brings you down, that will cause you to wonder if this fight is worth fighting. You're always going to have those times. Are you tough enough? Are you going to stay the course? Are you going to hang in there? Where did you ever get the idea, or where did we ever get the idea that everybody would appreciate us? I thought I had this glimmer of appreciation when I first started pastoring. I thought, man, I'll become a pastor and everybody will like me and things will go well. My family will be more secure, and it didn't happen. I've had to fight a few fights, fight some battles, won a few, lost a few, but we just hang in there. But Jesus never told us that it was going to be easy. Fact is, in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 10 and 11, if you turn over there, he'll put it on the screen for you. Jesus said his blessings were reserved for the persecuted and the reviled. In fact, it says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So if you're thin skin, you're going to have a rough time, because that makes you an easy target for the enemy. So you can't be thin-skinned. You got to understand you're going to be persecuted sometime. If you live in harmony with God's word and you uphold righteousness, if you stand for the standards of truth and justice and purity and refuse to compromise with the world, you're going to be persecuted. I read an article, just a brief snippet of an article by Jensen Franklin this morning, and he was talking about how it was a shame, basically it was a shame, that the pulpits in America, the preachers of America, have not been standing forward and using all the tools of ministry to fight this gross laws that's being passed by states like Virginia, abortion on demand even up to the last day of that baby's life in the womb, up until birth. We should be hollering to the high heavens how unjust that is, and how sinful that is, and how wrong that it is. But instead, we've embraced it, depending upon our politics and our thoughts, when it's not what our politics would say or our party would say, or it's what God says and what's right. It's what we should say. So endurance is the secret, my friend, not popularity. If you're going to live for God, you got to have endurance. Paul endured desertion by a friend. Ugly letters from the Corinthians. Disappointment with the Galatians. Mistreatment in Philippi. Mocking in Athens. Imprisonment and beheading in Rome. As well, as you read the portion of scripture, he tells you how many times he received stripes on his back. The times he was let down over a wall, the times that he was had rocks thrown at him, the times that he was shipwrecked, the times that he was in peril, the times that he didn't have enough to eat, the times he had to work with it. He tells it all. But yet he endured to the end for Christ's sake. So what do we really have to complain about? Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, my text today, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Quit there means act. Act like men. Be men. Don't be wimps. Don't run at the first sign of trouble. Bow up your back and say, there ain't no devil in hell, no a friend of the devil on earth can cause me to give up on my God and turn my back on Jesus. We got to do that. Come on, give the Lord a hand. So we've got to watch. Watch. He said here, watch ye. What's that mean? It means be alert. Watch ye. Be alert. Be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, is out to get you. You've got to be sober. Be sober. He's after you. He wants the deposit of God that God has placed in you. You are a seed capable of producing a harvest for God in the earth. This church is capable of producing a harvest for God if you'll just do what God has called you as an individual to do, and stop waiting on someone else to do it. Stop waiting on someone else to take charge. Stop waiting on a new pastor and get out there and do what God has placed in your spirit to do for the kingdom. You got to do it, church. It's your business. He put a deposit in you to work for the kingdom. We have to continually be on guard. Continually be on guard. And one of the reasons we want to be on guard is because Jesus Christ is coming. If you can't see it in the times that we're living in, the signs of the season that we're in, you're blind. Just be honest about it. You're blind. You're spiritually blind if you can't see that Jesus is about to return. Man, look at there. I'm ready for a lot of snotting today. I got one from my mouth and one from my nose. I just got to remember which is which. Pays to be prepared. So Jesus is coming. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, and the 42nd verse, and I, it's not there yet. I'll read it out of my Bible. I can't find it now. There we go. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We got to be on watch, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord's coming. He could come today. I say that almost every Sunday that I stand up here. Somewhere within my sermon, I'll usually tell you that Jesus could come today. It is still a truth. It's still a fact. He's about to split the eastern sky and come back for a church. So we have to watch. Watch and be ready for the coming of the Lord. And we have to watch that we enter not into temptation. In Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 41st verse, Jesus said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Because why? The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to stay on alert all the time, watching, because the enemy of our soul is doing everything he can to destroy you, to take away the seed, the deposit that God has placed within you. And there's temptation all around all of us. One major temptation, I think, is just that temptation to quit. Just to give up when there's difficulty. Just give up. A lot of people, instead of running to God, they run away from God when there's temptation or when there's trial and tribulation. They run away from God. They run away from the church instead of to the church. They run away from the very answer that they need instead of running to the answer. And that's a shame to see Christian people run away from God instead of run to the rock. The psalmist David said, I look to the rock, or I run to the rock of my salvation. I run into the cleft of the rock. I run to Jesus, who will gather me under his wings as a chicken or a hen would gather her chicks under her in a time of storm. I run to Jesus knowing that he's my rock, that he's the one that's going to keep me. Understand, church, we are going, he teaches us to enter not into temptation. Pray that you won't enter into temptation. Run to the church. Run to God, because your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. Every one of us have that same flesh that we deal with. He says also to watch that we may be worthy to escape all these things. There's tribulation coming upon this earth, ladies and gentlemen, over in Luke, the 21st chapter. And the 36th verse, it says, watch ye therefore and pray always. There again, back to praying. We need to pray more, don't we? That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. He says, watch and pray. pray. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. Church, it's going to be worthwhile. 1 millisecond after you realize that you've been raptured out of here, you're going to look back upon your life and say, heaven is worth it all. It's been worth the struggle. It's been worth the pain. It's been worth the trials. It's been worth all I've given up to serve Jesus Christ. It's worth it because I've made heaven. Going to be worth it. Said that you be worthy. There's things coming upon this earth that you don't want to experience. If you want to know a little bit more about that, you just begin to read over what Jesus discoursed in Matthew, over in the end of Matthew and over here in parts of Luke, and you go over in the book of Revelation, you begin to read about these things that are going to come to pass. You don't want to be a part of that, church, and we're going to get out of here one of these days. So watch and pray, watch that you be able to escape these things. And then also watch, because there's grievous wolves will come in among the flock. In Acts, the 20th chapter, in the 29th verse, it talks about grievous wolves that have come into the flock. And that's happening, you know, in the last days. There's going to be men with seducing spirits, and men come and preach phony things in the church. We got to watch and understand and know the scripture and know what the word of God says and understand it, because there's going to be people come in. They're try to rip your heart out, to try to discourage you, to get you to give up on God. They're going to tear you to ribbons if they can to get you to quit, but don't quit. If you have to go into heaven one with one arm and missing and a part of a ear gone or a leg gone, and spiritually speaking, you're limping into heaven, well, I want to tell you today, limp on in. It's going to be worth it in the long run. But don't give up. Don't give up. Quit ye like men. Don't give up. And then he says to watch in prayer. And Colossians, the 4th chapter, says continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. 1 Peter 4:7. It goes on with that, and he says there, but in all things but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye sober and watch unto prayer. Be ye sober and watch unto prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians it talks about soberness. And soberness here is it says watch and be sober. That means to be alert, to be awake, to show self-control. Don't get sleepy. Don't get complacent about your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't afford to get complacent. You can't afford to back up. You can't afford to hang your harp on the willow tree for a little while. You've got to stay in there. Stay diligent about your relationship with Jesus Christ. And don't give up on the church. It's the body of Christ which you're a part of. It says you watch into all things. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things. He was telling the young preacher, and at the end of that verse he says, make full proof of your ministry. Watch into all things. Make full proof of your ministries today. Do the work of an evangelist. We're all evangelists. You got a job to do. Winning somebody to Jesus. Telling them about the Lord. Showing them the way. Living a life of righteousness in front of them. Don't just talk about it. People are interested in how you live it as much as how you talk it. So, watch, therefore. Second point I'd like to make is stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. That word stand fast would mean be firm. Be firm. Why? Because you can't stand on your feelings. You can't stand on your circumstances. You can't stand on the opinions of others. Those things change constantly. You can only stand on the Word of God. My feelings can go from really good to really bad in just about 2.1 seconds. Maybe quicker sometime. And so can yours. People's opinion of you can change overnight. go from good opinion to a bad opinion and back to a good opinion, oftentimes based upon what the latest thing you've done for them or the latest perceived deception that you are or thing bad you've done to them. It's what their opinion of you would be. But you can't stand on feeling, circumstances, or opinions. You must stand on the Word of God. What does it say concerning you? Galatians 5:1 says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You don't want to go back to where you used to be. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, cleansed me one day from all unrighteousness. He set me free from the bondage of sin. I don't want to go back into the bondage of sin. I don't want to experience the pleasures of sin for a season any longer. I want to keep serving God. I want to be found faithful. I want them to say when they lay me down one of these days, if you get the opportunity to say something about me, I want to be he was faithful. I want to be he was steadfast. I want to be that he finished the course. He completed the work that God had for him on this earth. I don't care if you said, well, he's a nice dresser. You won't be able to say that about me. You won't be able to say that he had always had the right word to say, because I don't. He won't be able to say he's the wealthiest man in Pottawatomie County. That ain't going to never happen. And you might be able to say he had a beautiful wife. That's a fact, Jack. I was looking at pictures of my beautiful wife in 1971. If you'd saw her then, you'd understand why I married her as soon as I could. Woo! She's beautiful. Still is. When I don't think she is, I close my eyes, I see that picture from 1971. See, I don't always say the right thing. But she loves me. And she stuck by me when I was ugly. When I was bad. When I was unlovable. When I didn't deserve it. That's kind of like Jesus. When I was ugly, he still stuck by me. When I've been bad, he's been there for me. When I was unlovable, he still loved me and gave his life a ransom for me. I'm glad for Jesus. We have to stand fast in the faith. Be firm in the faith. You got to keep rank. Don't be disorderly. Don't retreat. Keep unity. Don't let anything divide you so that Satan can defeat you. Stand fast in the faith. You know from whom you believe. You know the words. You've planted it in your heart. Be like the psalmist. Thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Lord, I want to stand fast in the faith. So give me your Holy Spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Let him quicken me. Let him challenge me. Let him convict me. Let him show me the way so I can stand fast in the faith. And then number three, quit you like men. That part there means act like men. Act like men. Why? Because being childish won't cut it when the battle rages. It's time to grow up, learn from your mistakes, and keep going. Grow up, learn from your mistakes, and keep going. Grow up, learn, and keep going. Got to do it, church. You're all going to make mistakes. Everybody stumbles. There's an old movie I've watched, and it's actually a book called The Red Badge of Courage. The movie starred Audie Murphy, one of the most decorated World War II soldiers ever. Audie Murphy, an actor, movie actor, played some of the best cowboy parts you ever saw. I watch every Audie Murphy movie I can. Next to John Wayne, he's good. You know, I never heard him cuss in one of his movies, but I heard John do it. My point is this, he starred in that movie, The Red Badge of Courage, and during that particular movie, it's during the set in the Civil War, and on one charge, he ran. I think he was wounded, but he ran. He got scared and he ran. But he was so challenged by that, that he became a hero in that. Later on, he led a charge and he did some things right. And why was it? Well, sometimes, church, we're going to run. Sometimes we're going to kind of cow down. But I want to tell you, quit you like a man. Understand that you made a mistake. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Get back in the fight. If you need to lead the charge next time, lead the charge. If it means you get wounded again, get wounded again. But don't quit. All of us have ran at one time or another. All of us have turned tail and took off running when the enemy come against us. We became frightened. We got scared and we ran. But then something challenged us. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was the Lord. Maybe the Holy Spirit. But something challenged us. And we turn around and say, wait a minute. I'm not running no more. Sort of like a bully at school picking on you. And he just keeps picking on you and keeps picking on you. Keeps picking on you. And finally you get enough of it. Not going to be bullied no more. I heard a story about a young man that kept getting bullied as my great nephew. And he was being bullied at school. He's just a kindergartner, first grader. And this one boy kept bullying him every day. Kept bullying him. I mean, just call him names and push him. And he's a pretty good sized kid. I don't know why anybody would pick on Anthony. He's always been bigger than his age. You know, one of them times. That's why I got picked on, because he's big and he's lovable, but like a big bear, just a teddy bear, didn't want to bother nobody. His daddy told him, or his grandpa, my brother, told him, he said, next time that boy bothers you, you double up your fist and you hit him as hard as you can right on the nose. So next day at school, that boy bothered him. He took it for a long time. He doubled up his fist and he knocked him right in the nose. Sent that boy crying to the teacher. And Dale asked, what happened? Well, I got in trouble. What happened to the boy? Nothing. Well, but he don't bother me no more. Sometimes we need to quit like men. That devil's been harassing you. You need to double up your fist and hit him right in the nose. Hit him with the Word of God right in the face. Now, devil, you leave me alone. This is what the Word of God says concerning me. And one thing it says, that I'm more than a conqueror. I'm fixing to conquer you, because I'm more than a conqueror. I read the Word of God where a little shepherd boy took 5 stones and a sling and brought down a giant. I'm fixing to bring you down. Quit you like men. Act like men. Don't flinch in the fight. Maintain your ground at all cost. Resist, press forward, and strike deadly blows. Get after the enemy. He's under your feet. He has been defeated. No weapon formed against you can prosper in the name of the Lord today. If you have to, you can't think of anything else to do, I would encourage you to plead the blood of Jesus. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. The devil doesn't know what to do when you start pleading the blood of Jesus Christ. That perfect sinless blood, that spotless blood of the Lamb of God, he can't cross it, he can't defeat it, and he has to run in front of it. Why don't you just stand on the blood? Quit you like men. Then be strong. Toughen up. Why? Because weakness is an invitation to your enemy. Be strong. Furthermore, weakness precedes surrender. And quitting is not an option for you. God told his people that the promised land was theirs. But they had to fight for it. They had to fight for it. God's saying the same thing to you today. The promised land is yours. The blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow, they're yours, but you got to fight for it. You're going to fight the enemy for it. You may be on the one side of Jordan, but he's getting ready. If you'll just send your little priest out into the middle of the Jordan River, the waters are going to stop. God's going to let you allow you to cross over on dry ground. You're going to go over to Jericho and you're going to march around. Sometimes you're going to have to be silent and just march. But God's going to give you the victory. Other times you're going to have to take your sword and your shield and you're going to have to run to the battle and wield that sword of the Spirit and take the devil's head off with the Word. But be strong. Be strong. Don't give up. Fight for what God has given you. Ephesians, the 3:16 says that He, Jesus, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Paul was saying to the church at Ephesus that God's going to grant you, according to His riches in glory, to be strengthened with His might by His Spirit in your inner man. There's no reason to give up, because God is strengthening you. Somebody might look at you and think you're a 90-pound weakling. But they don't know about the God in you. They don't know about the strength that works in you. They don't know about the Spirit of God in your inner man. They just see the natural, but they don't see the supernatural. Keep yourself spiritually fit. Learn how to conquer. Either die in the conquest or win. I'd rather die doing what I could for God as to quit any day. What's that old saying? Winners don't quit and quitters don't win. Don't quit. Don't give up. Sort of like somebody got you down. You ever been down? Somebody had the upper hand on you and you just growled at them, go ahead, take your best shot. So when I get up from here, I'm going to take mine. I've been down like that before. I had a guy had me down one time many, many years ago. I mean, he had me twisted up. I couldn't do nothing. But I just said, go ahead, hit me. Go ahead, hit me. But you better hurt me. Because if you let me up, I'm coming back after you. Well, that wasn't the Christian thing to do, but, you know, I wasn't going to give up. That particular instance, that guy, he had his big old fist through his back. He's fixing to break my jaw. An outside source took something and knocked him upside the head. I'm serious. The Holy Spirit, it wasn't the Holy Spirit, but just in a sense. You get it? The devil may have you down. Somebody knocked that guy upside the head, and he just looked up at him like, oh my God, he got up off of me. He let me go. Fight was over. Sort of like the devil may have you down. Think about this a minute. The devil may have you down. And he may be reared back, getting ready to give you a death blow. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit around you, says, hold on just a minute. That's a praying saint of God. That person's been faithful. That person's been diligent. That person's been doing everything they can to serve me. And it is not going to happen, devil. You are not going to destroy them. You're not going to hurt them. You're not going to harm them. And about that time, the devil don't even see it coming. And up beside his head, there's a bit, something slaps him upside the head. And he just has to take a look. Oh, my. There's the God in him just reared up. I got to get out of here. Be tough. The Holy Spirit's not going to let you be defeated if you'll be tough. Stand your ground. You don't have to stand in your own strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says this, and he said to me, Paul said, the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul says, therefore I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in necessities. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That ought to get your blood to going right there. I mean to tell you, the Lord says, I'll be on your side. I will bless you. I'll meet your need. God assured Paul that his grace would be provided so that he could suffer all things. He could go through anything. It was provided to assure Paul that no matter the test, no matter the trial, no matter the battle he was facing, that he should learn to totally depend upon God. May I suggest to you today, no matter what you're facing, you need to learn to totally depend upon God. Totally. Paul learned to glory in his infirmities, in his battles and trials and tests, so that the power of God could rest upon him. Church, we've been trying to do it in our own power. We've not rested in the Lord. We've not depended upon God. We try to figure things out in the natural. We go to natural counselors. We go to friends. We go to social media and try to get an answer for a spiritual problem. It's not in social media. It's not in the world system. It's in what God can do in and through you by the Holy Spirit. Stop running from God. You can't do it on your own power. Paul learned that when he was being attacked by Satan, he could look for the grace of God that God promised him. He could depend on God's grace. He learned to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we're attacked by Satan, we can also look for the grace and power of God that's been promised us. When we trust God and rest in the promise of His grace, when needed, we will be strong in the power of God, and the power of Christ will rest upon us like a tent or a tabernacle, giving us shelter or rest. Why are we trying to do it in our own power? Are you tough enough? Are you tough enough? You don't have to stand in your own strength, but you got to be tough. You got to make up your mind. You got to be resolved that I'm not going to give up on God, for if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm not giving up on God. I'm not quitting God. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to serve Him. No matter what comes my way, no matter how tough it gets or how tough it seems, sometimes it seems tougher than it really is. Depends on your spiritual, where you're at that day, spiritually. You know, sometimes we're quarter too low on spirituality. When we're quarter too low, it's kind of hard to make it. Sort of like a transmission. You know, y'all ever check your transmission fluid? Sometimes you probably should. But you got a transmission, it's a couple, about three or four quarts low of transmission fluid. What's going to happen? It's going to slip. It's not going to shift properly. Your car's not going to move the way it's intended to move because it needs that fluid in there to cause all the gears to flow and move and the way they're supposed to. And so you need to do a spiritual transmission check every now and again. If you're a little bit low on fluid, you need to add some spiritual fluid. Get full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Because it's not showing on the dipstick, you might be in trouble. Because you're probably not going to be able to handle the stress that's that's coming your way. You're not going to be able to handle the fight that's coming your way. You're going to give up because you're not working properly. So don't give up on God. You don't have to stand in your own strength. You've got prayer. You've got all these things. Quit you like men. Be strong. Be firm. Hang in there. God's not through with you. You can make it. And you know Jesus is coming so very soon. The Bible, there's an old song, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Don't know for sure when He's coming. He might come after you lay your head down tonight for a rest. Might come while you take a nap this afternoon. You better be ready. If there's anything in your life today that's not right, you might ought to make it right. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you got problems today, I encourage you to apply the blood. Apply the blood. The blood of Jesus. And let Him cleanse you. Let Him strengthen you through His Holy Spirit. Let Him be your all in all. Well, would you stand with me?